Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah.
WynnBET Sportsbook again?
Yeah, man. Want to get in on these bets with me?
Okay, fine. Just signed up.
Yes. See? WynnBET. Told you. Sign up at winbet.com today using promo code BlueWire to get up to $1,000 toward a risk-free sports bet. That's WynnBET and promo code BlueWire. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Welcome back to the Talking Niners podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Hustle Network. I'm your host, Kobe Ransom. Joining me today, as per usual, Sam, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Been a busy week for the Niners. Lots of Justin Fields stuff. That pro day was insane. And we're here to break that down to you, break down a lot more. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, two things happened in the last 2 days, Monday and Tuesday. Monday, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch had their press conference. It's the first time we've heard from them since their exit press conference back in January. So that was big. And then on Tuesday, we had two pro days from two quarterbacks that are on the radar for the Niners in Mac Jones and Justin Fields. So we will discuss both of those things, starting with the one that happened first, which is the press conference. And starting off with, because there was a big buzz to start off about why in the world the Niners were going to the Alabama Pro Day instead of the Ohio State Pro Day. That question came up in the press conference. They answered it by saying, you know, this is Bama's second Pro Day. I think Javier Vega put out there that they only were allowed to send three guys per team to each Pro Day. So that was some insight that was valuable to know that, okay, John Lynch, Kyle, and one other person would go to Bama. Other three would go to Ohio State. And also, Shanahan has said that they had talked with Justin Fields' agent, David Mogeta, and they will have a second Pro Day, which Kyle will most likely be at. So, in turn, that was a big reason why they went to Bama instead of Ohio State, because this was Bama's second. They are going to get another one from Ohio State, and there's a chance that I think there was rumors that they're going to try to get another North Dakota State one as well to go see Trey Lance. So, they're going to have chances to see to all these guys. And another thing that kind of stood out to me was Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels were there, and they were around Kyle and John for pretty much that entire Pro Day. They talked to each other for a long time. What could that have been about? I'm not going to be a conspiracist. You know, we've done enough of that. But, you know, they were around each other a lot at that Pro Day. So could that have also been another reason why they wanted to go to Bama? Because they knew Bill and McDaniels would be there. And we know that the Patriots have interest in Jimmy Garoppolo, because more rumors came out today that the Patriots still have interest in trying to find a way to get Garoppolo on their team. So could they have been discussing, you know, what details you need to get a Garoppolo deal done? And we, like, these things, like, normally at the combine, that's when teams normally talk to each other to get deals done. So without the combine, are they doing it now at Pro Days? That's kind of something that's kind of been in my head for a little bit the last couple days. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure there was a variety of reasons for the Niners to go to the Bama Pro Day, and they'll still get to see Justin Fields in person and probably see Trey Lance in person, so it's no need to worry over about which team and which, you know, Pro Day the Niners are going to, because they're probably going to go to all of them at this point now, because Shanahan said at 12 they want to tip their hand. They know that if they went to a bunch of quarterback Pro Days, people will know, okay, they're really looking to getting one of these guys, and the price for getting into the top five, top three, whatever, probably would have gone up. Waiting until you got to three before you went to these Pro Days allowed you to get this deal done and kind of stay under the radar. And now, you know, that they're at three, they don't have to hide as much, and they can just go to these Pro Days and evaluate these quarterbacks and go about their life. So that's what I took from it. What about you, Sam?
Yeah, man, I take the exact same things away from that. First of all, not going to other teams' Pro Days, very good idea in my opinion. You get those. I mean, you stay under the radar, as you said. We probably could have had to give up a lot more if we went to the North Dakota State Pro Day, if more people went to the BYU Pro Day, if we went to the Alabama Pro Day, the first one. So I think that's why it makes sense as to why we didn't go to the Pro Days. Now, as for going to Alabama over Ohio State, I think no Niners fans should be concerned about this. First of all, this was Alabama's second Pro Day. Ohio State, this was their first one. So Ohio State is more likely to have a second pro day. So you can either check out just Justin Fields or you can check out Justin Fields and Mac Jones, which leads to my second point. You got to do your due diligence on all the quarterbacks in this draft. I don't care if it's Kyle Trask or Kellen Mond, still got to do your due diligence. And I know we're not going to take them at three, but I'm just saying, I think you have to look at Mac Jones as an option at three, even though I wouldn't like it, even though you wouldn't like it, Kobe. I think you still have to look at it as an option for the 49ers. But Justin Fields, Trey Lance, I definitely like how the way they handled that, because it seems like those two guys are their guys. But at the time, no one knew that they were going up to three, so you can't send the entire team over there. You can't send Lynch, Shanahan, and Adam Peters, or at least two of those three guys over there, or something like that. Same with the Ohio State Pro Day before, or the first Alabama Pro Day, I should actually say. So it's just doing their due diligence, and I like how they went to Bama first, because you have another Ohio State Pro Day, probably. You contacted his agent, which is a good job for that. Also, about the Bama Pro Day, Bill Belichick spent a lot of time with Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and Josh McDaniels, as you said. So maybe that was one of the reasons why they went to the Alabama Pro Day. That would be a very interesting thing if they're summing up their sleeves right there. So definitely could be on the lookout for possibly Garoppolo trade. I don't really know. We'll have to wait and see.
And that kind of leads into the second point, question from that press conference that I wanted to get into. Saying the Niners weren't against trading Garoppolo if they got a deal that, you know, they basically couldn't refuse. So, and then the report came out today from Albert Breer that apparently that price is if they get offered a first-round pick. So, it's interesting to see, because obviously with the Garoppolo staying on the roster, you have the ability to let the rookie sit until he's ready, or you can have Jimmy and the rookie compete for the starting quarterback job prior to the regular season. It makes sense for both. If you do get some value for Garoppolo that you weren't expecting to get, then it would be, you know, probably dumb to turn it down. Like, if you get a high second round pick offer or a first round pick offer for Garoppolo, like, I don't think at that point you're really thinking, like, I think you take that deal. But, you know, if you keep Garoppolo around, you buy yourself some time, or either you just have more competition. Maybe you have the rookie earn the starting job rather than just handing it to him, you know, like saying, hey, yeah, here's the keys, just go ahead. Like, no, you know, Garoppolo's here. He's starting quarterback unless you, you know, prove you're ready to take over the mantle. So it's a win-win situation for both. I know, I mean, it's going to be discussed until it happens. Like, a Garoppolo trade, even if it doesn't happen this week or next week, doesn't mean it won't happen. This thing could happen during the draft, after the draft, before training camp. I mean, we won't know if Garoppolo is for sure going to be here until training camp starts and he's still on the roster. But if they don't trade him, you know, you still get a quarterback that you know can win games for your team, as well as having a chance to let your rookie sit in the event that maybe he's not ready to go week one, or you just don't have to force him out there. You can let him sit until maybe a week or two, maybe three. We've seen, you know, plenty of quarterbacks like sit for a couple of weeks. We saw Baker Mayfield, who was, you know, I think what was it, the number one pick in that draft.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield was number one.
He sat for the first three games. We saw Herbert. He wasn't. We don't know how long he would have sat if Taylor never got the lung thing happen. Tua sat for a while, and then we see other examples of people who start right away, like Burrow and you know, Darnold. Mariota, Winston. Darnold played pretty early. So, yeah, I mean, we have no idea which route the Niners really want to go with this, but either route is cool. If they trade Garoppolo because they get value for him they weren't expecting to get, then, you know, that's good. But if they don't trade him and they keep on the roster, that's also good because he is a starting level quarterback. He can win games for your franchise, and you can let your rookie sit until he's ready so you don't have to force him out there and potentially ruin his development. So, just with the Garoppolo thing, really, I don't care how it ends up. If he stays, cool. If he goes, cool. That's where I'm at with it.
You know, I keep repeating this on this podcast, but I'm going to say it again. The only way I'll trade Garoppolo is if we have a good veteran bridge quarterback. I think I've said that for the past two episodes. I'm going to emphasize it here because, as you said, Kobe, you can't just give the quarterback the keys to the offense right away with no competition and no mentorship on the team. I know when Sam Darnold was in New York. He had, I mean, Josh McCown is a longtime veteran, been on a lot of teams. I mean, that was his only competition. And I mean, every rookie quarterback, what I'm trying to say is every rookie quarterback who comes into the league has a lot of competition or some competition next to him. At least a decent amount of competition that would push him to get the starting job. So I think the 49ers need that with a veteran bridge quarterback. And then also just mentorship. You got to have a mentor to mentor this rookie quarterback, in my opinion, because the transition window, no one makes it that quick unless you're a number one pick, I should say. Because really a lot of the number one picks haven't been able to start right away, make that transition quickly because they're superstars in college and they're going to be superstars in the league. So that's the case. However, I do believe, Garoppolo or not, I think this team is fine with a veteran bridge quarterback. It doesn't have to be Garoppolo is what I'm trying to say, because I do still believe that there's a distrust between Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. That's one of the reasons I wanted Garoppolo out. But if the 49ers want... I mean, if the 49ers want to keep Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm fine with it. I do believe he is a starting caliber quarterback. Also, one quick thing with the press conference. I believe Kyle Shanahan slipped up on his words a little bit and said, rookie quarterback. You heard that, starting quarterback. I bet he's starting the guy who can maybe start. Is Garoppolo that starter? Maybe you can get more value for him, sign a less talented guy, maybe like an Alex Smith or a Sam Darnold, or trade for one of those two. Trade for Darnold, I should say. Maybe that's what they're thinking with Garoppolo. So I don't think it's over with Garoppolo and that Garoppolo saga in San Francisco. Even though they said it, I was kind of convinced last week, but the more and more I've just seen more rumors and more reports that teams are still interested, this is a bluff, I feel like that the 49ers could be trying to trade Garoppolo in the near future.
Yeah, and I guess I'll say my piece on this. I believe the rookie can probably beat Garoppolo out in camp. I don't think Garoppolo is currently doing anything in the offense that the rookie wouldn't be able to do. And there's a reason why the 49ers traded to 3, because they know their guy's going to be there. One of their guys are going to be there. And if they have that kind of belief in the guy they're picking, I think they want to get him going probably as soon as possible, start to... not waste that rookie contract and not really waste a year. Because I was talking in a clubhouse with Jordan and a bunch of other guys, and he brought up the point saying, I know Alex Smith played that whole year Mahomes was sitting, but what if when Mahomes was ready, they threw him in there to play? Would they have lost to the Titans in the wild card game? Maybe they wouldn't have. If you didn't just try to go the whole way with Alex Smith, maybe you put in Mahomes when you're ready because that was your investment. That's your franchise guy. Maybe you win that game. Maybe you go further in the playoffs than you did. Maybe you don't be a wild card out. So, that's something to think about. Like, do you really have to sit your rookie the whole year? I mean, you can make the argument that if Justin Herbert, who was a rookie, was on this Niners team, this 2020 Niners team, and he played the entire season, you can make an argument that they at least make the playoffs. And when you're in games with Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard, I have a hard time believing Kyle Shanahan can't design an offense where even if the rookie isn't 100% ready to go with the offense, that you can design an offense where you can capitalize on what he's doing the best at the moment and, work off of that. And then he just continues to get better as the season goes on. I don't think you're required to sit him for however many weeks when he comes in. I think he can probably go sooner than people think. I don't think you really have to keep Garoppolo around. If you can trade him for value and then bring in another guy, I think you do that. But, excuse me, a little allergies and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I personally just think the rookie wins in camp regardless if Garoppolo is there or not. I don't think Garoppolo, I'm not trying to be rude here or anything, but I just don't think he's doing anything in the offense that a rookie couldn't do, because even with him being on the team for 4 years, it's not like they're doing things on offense where I almost feel like they dumbed it down for him at some point, like in the playoffs and going into the 2020 season. I feel like they kind of stopped running certain concepts to try to do things that Garoppolo was a little better at, more comfortable with. And we saw a lot of screens, a lot of touch passes, and a lot of things that didn't seem all that, diverse and all that complicated. So I'm just not of the belief that Shanahan needs to keep Garoppolo around for the rookie. I think the rookie can probably go you know, day one. We'll see if that's the route they go, but that's just my opinion on it.
You know, I agree somewhat and I disagree somewhat. I do think that whoever Kyle Shanahan drafts can be the starter right away. I do think Justin Fields, it's tough with him. I think Justin Fields and Trey Lance, both of them, it's kind of tough with. I don't know if they're ready to start immediately just yet. Zach Wilson on the other hand definitely can start immediately. But I think the reason I do want Garoppolo is just that security. If the rookie's struggling, you can put in Garoppolo and groom the rookie a little bit more. If the rookie's struggling, then you can just put Garoppolo in and Garoppolo can lead this team instead of the rookie and win games now because this team is in a win-now situation. So I think you just need a good quarterback room that can win games. Garoppolo can win games, and the rookie, whoever we draft, has won games in college. He can definitely win games at the NFL level. So I do think you need some insurance. Whether it's Garoppolo or not, you need some veteran insurance for the rookie. Even if he even if he's a backup, that's fine. You just need some veteran insurance. And I'm trying to think of some guys who are backup quarterbacks, are certified backup quarterbacks. Not talking about like a Nick Mullins or someone, but someone maybe a bit better. A bit better than Nick Mullins, a bit worse than a bridge quarterback. I can't really think of anyone at the moment.
Well, there's not really someone left like on that. This recent market. You have to trade for one at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there might be. I definitely think there's a few left. Like maybe like a Blake Bortles or something. Yeah, I don't know if that's a
nah.
I'm just throwing out names, but I don't know if he's a free agent or not. But I mean, I can look that up later. But I do think you just need some veteran insurance. And also, if they do trade Garoppolo, whoever they sign is going to give us a big sign of what they're going to do with the rookie quarterback right away. So whether or not they start him, whether they bench him, whether they bench him for a whole year and wait for next year. Whoever we get at the backup quarterback or veteran quarterback is going to be interesting. Even if it's keeping Garoppolo, that's definitely going to show that I believe the rookie will be coming in within the first 4 or 5 weeks, something like that. That's what I would expect from the San Francisco 49ers.
My thing is, like, with the mentor thing, I don't think Garoppolo is mentoring anybody. And there also aren't any mentors left out there. I don't think Minshew is going to be a mentor. I don't think Darnold's going to be a mentor. I don't think there's any left. Like, you're basically at a point now where you just kind of have to hope your rookie figures it out. Because I don't think anyone's left out there. Like, I think Flacco would have been your mentor. I don't know. I think Smith still wants to start.
And they did bring Flacco
somewhere
in for an interview, though. That's interesting to know if they want a mentor.
Yeah. And then, because Flacco mentored Lamar Jackson. So, and then I think Smith probably would be another guy. But I don't think Smith wants to be a mentor again. I think he wants to give, which I don't know which team's going to do that with now, because he didn't get signed by anybody. But I think he wanted to start one more time, like a full season, where he's not just going to be a guy holding a clipboard and trying to teach the rookies things. I think he wanted to play, knowing that his years are limited because his leg injury, you know, durability is a question now because he couldn't make it through the rest of the season with Washington when he had the leg strain. I don't know if it was the same leg that he had the surgery on or not. I think it might have been. So, yeah, that's a concern. Like, knowing he has limited years left, I think he wants to play on a team where he has a chance to start the full season and not just be a mentor for somebody. Because if that was the case, I think he's just going to be a coach at this point. So, with that being said, you know, Garoppolo, I mean, if you keep Garoppolo because you want someone, you know, a better backup, he just sits then. Like, he just, and no one offers anything. And that's the thing for Garoppolo, too. If he doesn't play, if he gets benched for the rookie, or let's say he just doesn't start because the rookie beats him out, there's no way he's starting anywhere else. Like, that would basically be it. At that point, he's just going to be a backup for somebody.
Possibly New England if he got traded.
So, yeah, New England is probably the favorite to trade for him if the trade goes down.
Or
before
Denver. Denver, too. Watch out for Denver for getting another. I know we're here to talk about the Niners because it's talking Niners. But watch out for Denver to replace Drew Lock, maybe get a Garoppolo or a Mac Jones in the draft. Just want to point that out.
No, that's relevant for other teams because this is about Garoppolo, who is on the Niners. So I think that's relevant. But that's fair. You know, I mean, Garoppolo, the reason why it could be a trade deal, like, well, not a trade deal, a draft day deal, is because teams right now, no quarterbacks have been drafted. Like, I know Lawrence is supposed to go one and Wilson is supposed to go two, but no one's been drafted yet. We don't know how the board's going to fall, who's going to be where. Where does Mac Jones go? Does Mac Jones go to Carolina? Does Mac Jones go to Denver? Does Trey Lance go to Denver or Carolina? You know, where do these guys end up? And I think once someone finds out that they're not going to get a guy, like, how far does Mac Jones, like, does Mac Jones go to New England maybe? And then that takes them off the table for Garoppolo. So, like, once the draft goes and teams see, okay, we still kind of have a need at quarterback, and okay, who's out there we can get? Okay, Garoppolo is, I mean, I know Garoppolo's not the best guy we can get, but he's better than who we have now, or he can push who we have now so we can get better production at our quarterback spot. So maybe we make an offer for him. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, the draft could be the day it happens, if it happens, you know, within the next month or so. I just not of the belief that Garoppolo has to be here for the rookie. Cause I don't think he's going to teach the rookie anything. No offense to Garoppolo. I'm not trying to be rude here. I'm just trying to, you know, just how I see it. I don't think Garoppolo is teaching the rookie anything. If anyone's going to teach anyone anything, it would have been Nick Mullins, because that's who Shanahan called the smartest QB he had in the room. Like, it would have been Mullins to teach the rookie anything about the offense and whatever. So, yeah, I mean, if Garoppolo ends up not starting, if he ends up benched or ends up getting benched later in the season, that's it for his starting career. His best chance is to get dealt to New England before the season starts. Because I think Belichick has an offense, has personnel around him that he can succeed with. And I think Belichick would probably, I think Garoppolo can probably beat out Cam in camp if Belichick prefers Garoppolo's play style over Cam Newton's play style. So we'll see how that goes, but for Garoppolo, I mean, the way everything's gone, they said, like, you know, Garoppolo was disappointed, which, you know, he wasn't supposed to be happy that this happened, and they were like, well, I hope he's okay with it. I hope he's okay with the trade. So we don't know where he's at mentally with this thing, you know, whether he prefers to get out of here or if he wants to stay one more year. We'll see how all that plays out over time. Obviously, I have no information. I have no inside sources. I have no idea what's happening with those two. But overall, with me on the outside looking in, I think the rookie can do what Garoppolo was doing day one. I don't think it was that complicated. I mean, Garoppolo came in, it went 5-0 in 2017 on half a playbook. Like, I mean, Shanahan can create an offense for the rookie, especially when you're getting a rookie like Justin Fields or Trey Lance, someone like that, where they have their legs too you can use. Like, you can go reoption, you can go RPOs, you can just do, you know, play action rollouts and everything like that. Like, offense can be designed where a rookie can you know, succeed from the jump, and I just don't think Garoppolo I don't think he's a necessity to keep. He would be nice to keep, but not a necessity. Yeah, I went too long on that, but that's just how I feel about it.
Well, while we were going in that little spiel, I was kind of looking at the free agent quarterbacks available, and you're right, there aren't any mentors available. If you want a somewhat of a mentor, you could get Alex Smith. Maybe Garoppolo, I don't really know. Garoppolo, I don't think he would be that mentor guy. I think the only way he would mentor you is just knowing the system a bit better, because he's been the 49ers quarterback. I mean, he led them to a Super Bowl. There's all of that stuff. And Teddy Bridgewater, possibly a mentor. I know he's been bounced around the league a little bit, former first-round pick. So that would be an interesting one. Another name that I popped on the list, and I want to ask this to you, Kobe. What about an RG3?
No.
No?
No.
I
guess I wouldn't hate
My thing with RG3 is, you look at what he does, he's a pretty mobile quarterback. You want a mobile quarterback, Justin Fields. I mean, there's not that much in common with those two, and there's not much in common with a Justin Fields, because Justin Fields, I believe, it's hard to compare Justin Fields to a lot of quarterbacks because he's pretty damn good. So I think you look at RG3, if you want a guy who can teach him how to be mobile in the NFL, I think RG3 could be that guy. And yes, he's been less mobile after all those knee injuries, but he knows Shanahan well. Shanahan technically drafted him, even though it was really the ownership using the Shanahans as their puppets to draft RG3. So he technically did coach him and draft him. So that's something to point out with RG3. Maybe there's someone with there. I don't really know. I'm just trying to throw out names. Alex Smith. I mean, Alex Smith seems like the best option. Garoppolo is a good option. Bridgewater, it depends on if you really want to give up a lot for him. I don't know how much Carolina's looking for a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who we're only going to have for a year. But if you want to go a cheaper option, I think RG3 looks pretty solid, to say the least, excuse me. And other options that I'm looking at, there's no really other good options. You could get a Blaine Gabbert, Blake Bortles, Brian Hoyer, but I don't really want those guys. Or, as we talked about last week, maybe you bring Nick Mullins back, but again, he's coming off an injury. I don't think that's smart. So if you want a cheap guy, maybe go after an RG3.
No, I wouldn't hate Brian Hoyer as a backup. but
you know, that man has haunted me. He haunted me for a whole year. And I know I used to call it the effing awful five. I've kind of changed, stayed away from that term. So I'm just going to call him Brian Hoyerbol. That's what I used to call him when he was on the Niners. But, you know, if he comes back, I'll give him a second chance. Why not? It might be interesting, to say the least. But he is a guy who's been in the league for a long time. Not the best quarterback. He's really a bona fide backup. But if you really need a backup, go and get him. Kyle Shanahan brought him into this team in 2017. That's another guy. That's another reason why I think Brian Hoyer could come in. And maybe he won't be Brian Hoyerbol anymore. Maybe he gets a second chance. Maybe he redeems himself in
my
mind.
Hopefully he never has to play. Not trying to redeem, but exactly. Hopefully he never has to play. Hopefully whoever's the backup doesn't have to play if the rookie does start.
Yeah, that's the goal. You want the rookie to get in ASAP because that's the future for your team. But it's always good to have that insurance. That's why I'm saying veteran quarterback. Could be a bridge, could be a backup. I do think RG3, Brian Hoyer, could be good options for the 49ers, but I would prefer a Garoppolo, an Alex Smith, or somewhere in that range. I think those are probably your two best options. And Bridgewater, depending on what you have to give up for him.
All right, moving into the last thing I wanted to point out from this press conference. It was about Shanahan's top quarterback. And this really is the only reason that Mac Jones is even being linked to the Niners in any way is because Shanahan pursued Kirk Cousins, well, at least had the idea of wanting to pursue Kirk Cousins in the 2018 offseason before they traded for Garoppolo. So, and speaking of Kirk Cousins, they brought him up and Kyle went into his whole spiel about how much he likes Kirk Cousins and that teams are lucky to have Kirk Cousins. And, you know, Kyle still loves Kirk Cousins, but he said, if I could, like, draw up the perfect quarterback, it would be the, you know, the strongest, fastest, you know, best quarterback from the pocket. And basically, he also said, like, everyone at this point wants a Patrick Mahomes-type quarterback. And, you know, Mac Jones, you know, no offense to Mac, but he is probably the furthest thing in this draft from a Patrick Mahomes-type quarterback. So I think we can cross off Mac Jones off the board. I know they went to his pro day. I know that people are linking him to the Niners, but I think Kyle, even like back during the season after the Buffalo Bills game where they got shredded by Josh Allen, like I think Shanahan even then was like, you know, praising quarterbacks who can make plays with their legs and like do things off script. And I think Kyle wants a guy who can do things off script, who he doesn't like, so when things break down, that can get outside the pocket and make a play. And that's not Mac Jones. Like, Mac Jones is closer to, you know, if he hits his ceiling, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan's the better of the two. I mean, it wouldn't be bad, but at the same time, like, you're not going to get anywhere near the things that Russell Wilson does, the thing that Aaron Rodgers does, the things that Deshaun Watson does, the things that Patrick Mahomes does. Like, getting outside the pocket, Josh Allen, you know, just recently. Justin Herbert, too. Just those guys who can get outside the pocket and create when things break down. And it might not have to be often, but those two or three, four times a game when things break down and you can get out the pocket and still make a play, that could change the game. And we saw it happen to us numerous times against Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson. We saw in the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes makes some plays where things, you know, were breaking down. And, you know, the play should have been shut down, but Mahomes gets out and makes a play. Like, those things can kill teams. Like, it doesn't matter how good of a game you call. Like, it doesn't matter how good defense you play. Sometimes these quarterbacks make plays that you just can't defend. And I think Kyle wants that, and that's not Mac Jones. So, Mac Jones, if you had any concerns, I personally do not believe at all that Mac Jones would be going at three. So, there.
I mean, you're right about that. I don't think Mac Jones is going to go at three either. Why do you trade up for three for that, too? It just seems so confusing why you would do that. Also, the one thing about the ideal quarterback, I know you said that Mac Jones, you can rule him off the table after what Kyle Shanahan said. I'm totally with you. And the quote-unquote experts are still like, oh, Kyle Shanahan loves these types of quarterbacks. He loved those types of quarterbacks 3 years ago. Times has changed. He got Garoppolo because he was similar to Kirk Cousins in some manners. And that was his ideal quarterback at the time. But now we're here in 2021. Kyle Shanahan does not trust Jimmy Garoppolo. He moved up significantly far in the draft to get a new quarterback for this team. He has changed a lot. So I think from what he said, you're looking at a Justin Fields, you're looking at a Trey Lance, you're looking at a Zach Wilson. Also, going to the Alabama Pro Day, a lot of people are like, oh, that's evidence that they're taking Mac Jones. You know who else goes to Alabama? 10 or 11 other NFL draft prospects. I don't know. Whatever you call those. NFL draft prospects. Yes. Perfect. But they could be scouting those guys out too as well. I know it's not Mac Jones Day. It's Alabama Pro Day. That's how it is. So Mac Jones, I mean, if you want a guy at Alabama, go for someone else other than Mac Jones. It's called doing due diligence. So I think you have to understand why they went to the Pro Day to see Mac Jones and all the other Alabama guys. But at the same time, going to an Alabama Pro Day does not mean that you're going to take Alabama players across the board.
The Pro Day isn't the end-all be-all when it comes to why you're going to take a player. Like,
exactly.
Multiple teams go to multiple different Pro Days. Like, I don't know, you know, which Pro Days Jacksonville's been to, but if they went to a Mac Jones Pro Day or Alabama Pro Day or Justin Fields or Ohio State Pro Day, BYU Pro Day, if they went to those, it doesn't mean that they're not going to take Trevor Lawrence number one. They're just, you know, they're doing all their homework, they're doing their due diligence, they're being thorough. You know, they're going to see everyone, see everything, you know, just to make sure they have all their options open. So don't overreact to a couple Pro Days. Pro Days do not decide who goes where. There were the Nick Bosa draft. There was so much talk around Quinnen Williams. Like, Niners had a dinner at IHOP with him, and they're like, John Lynch, you know, praised him and everything, and there were people mocking Quinnen Williams to the Niners at number two rather than Nick Bosa, and we saw who got picked. Nick Bosa. There's no need to overthink this. And it was
also, they called it as Bosa or bust, so just want to point out there that the Quinnen Williams thing was a smokescreen. They throw smokescreens all around, all the time. And I think every NFL team does that. But
and continue. The Niners were at Patrick Mahomes Pro Day back in 2017. Like, and they didn't draft Mahomes. So just because they went to a Pro Day doesn't mean that they're going to draft a player of the Pro Day they went to. Because they go to a bunch of them. They're going to go to a bunch of them. So.
And every team does that.
Yeah. All right. And speaking of Pro Days, yesterday, Mac Jones and Justin Fields had their Pro Days. And they looked, as you might imagine, very different. When you go watching the Mac Jones Pro Day, and he's early on, he's missing throws, and the overthrows, and they panic Kyle Shanahan, and Shanahan's just got this blank face like, bro, what am I looking at? And, which he might not have been thinking that at all. He might have just been, just looking. But, you know, I saw some jokes on Twitter saying, like, he's having PTSD from the Super Bowl because of that overthrows. And I found that kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, watching Mac Jones, and, you know, Mac Jones, he looked like Mac Jones, you know, in the Pro Day. He looked like everything you've – I mean, I'm not going to make a whole assessment on a player from Pro Day. Obviously, you want to look good because you're in shorts and a shirt, and you're throwing against air to guys you're used to throwing to. But at the same time, the game tape is what matters. What you do in the game is what matters. And Mac Jones is – like, he'll be a good quarterback in the league. If he goes to the right team, he'll be a good quarterback in the league. But Justin Fields is just a whole different tier. Like, you cannot compare the two. Justin Fields, as an athlete, as a talent, is capable of much, much more than Mac Jones can ever even imagine of being. So, just from the Pro Day, like, it's a Pro Day. Justin Fields is going to look good. He ran a 4.44, apparently, which is
ridiculous for a quarterback.
Which is really fast for a quarterback. Which, you know, please bring that here.
Fastest quarterback time since... No, the fastest first-round quarterback time ever, I believe, that's actually been recorded, because Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, they didn't run. The one person behind that is the guy we brought up earlier, RG3, and that's another reason maybe you could bring RG3 in, but just saying.
Yeah, so, I mean, we know. Fields, athlete, big guy, strong guy, fast guy, and he had a couple of throws that were making the rounds on Twitter. It's like, Jesus Christ, like, you know, people were ooing on and Zach Wilson and Fields went out there and basically did the same throws. Maybe not the exact same one, because Wilson had the one where he's throwing to his left and throws it across his body to his right and hits the guy in stride, which is just ridiculous. Wilson is like, his talent is like immense. Like, that guy with the right team is going to be a star. But, you know, Fields is really good too. So, and that's, you know, that's just like a Pro Day is the way to just kind of show off like everything you got in your bag. And Justin Fields has more of this bag than Mac Jones does. And that's just how it is, because Mac Jones, you know, he isn't a superb athlete. He's not very fast, not very strong. I do wonder about his body. Like, he's got the dad bod at like 20 something, and you know, and you're in college, and like, what do you spend your free time doing? You know, like, do you not work out as much as you should? You know, are you drinking too much, eating too much food? You know, that, I mean, I don't know how concerning some people are about that. You know, with his body, it might not even matter. Like, people compare his body to Tom Brady. It's like, look at Brady's body at the pro, you know, at his pro day and everything. It's like, well, I mean, I'm not going to compare the guy to Brady, but it might not matter right now, especially when you get to NFL training rooms and NFL trainers and you know, the nutritionists and all that stuff. Like, they'll get you right. But at the same time, you'd like to see a guy kind of stay in shape before they get that stuff. But anyway, I mean, and then Justin Fields is like, he's got muscles on muscles. Like, the guy, I don't want to like be weird about it, but you know, the guy's cut. So, I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. The pro days, I mean, Justin Fields is a whole different level. Whole different level. It wasn't surprising.
Exactly. And Justin Fields just had a phenomenal pro day. And Mac Jones was mad. I know you talked about it earlier, Kobe, how they cut the cameras to Kyle Shanahan, and he just looked like, what am I watching right here? Same with Bill Belichick. They cut over to him, and yeah, Bill Belichick is just shaking his head. That was really funny to see. But yeah, I mean, Justin Fields had such a better pro day than Mac Jones. It's not really even close. And then also, even though during the pro days you brought up the DUI stuff, a lot of people did that on Twitter. I mean, when I said you, I didn't mean you specifically, Kobe, but just in general, people were bringing them up.
Yeah.
So, could have a bit of character issue. That could be some concern for the 49ers as well. So, I mean, Justin Fields had much better pro day than Mac Jones. I don't have too much to say about this other than that, but it goes to prove more why Justin Fields should be the answer for the 49ers or Trey Lance, not Mac Jones.
Yeah, and then now today with Justin Fields, I think Dan Orlovsky was on the Pat McAfee show, and these quotes aren't from him. It's things he's heard from people who make decisions in the NFL, so I guess GMs, scouts, stuff like that. And they're questioning Justin Fields, you know, want to, like, how badly does he want to be a good NFL quarterback? Saying he's like the last guy in, first guy out, and you know, his commitment to the game probably isn't that strong. Which I, you know, that's just, I'm sorry, I'm over here coughing, but that's just ridiculous to me, because this is like Trevor Lawrence is a guy who is pushing to have a college football season, but Justin Fields is right behind him for the Big Ten. He was like, listen, we want to play football. Like, find us a way to play football. We want to play football. He was one of the guys who was pushing for a Big Ten season, and you could argue that because of that, that's the reason they had one, because Justin Fields, you know, who was a top 10, he's already looked at as the second best quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence going in, before the season even played.
And he's also looked at as the biggest star in the Big Ten.
Yeah, so, like, he didn't have to play. Like, he could have did like Trey Lance and sat out if he wanted to. Like, he didn't have to play. Like, his stock was already high from the 2019 season, so he wanted to play. And on top of that, I only need one game to know that he wants to play football. He wants to play football bad. The Clemson game. The man had his ribs, like, broken mid-game. He misses one play, comes back in, throws a touchdown, and plays the rest of the game. And then on weak turnaround, still plays in the championship game. Like, this guy, his commitment to the game is there. Like, you can see it with him playing. Like, you don't need to question his character and that he wanted to play and he's not a hard worker. Like, all that stuff was just BS to me. Like, why are we doing this to him? Like, why are we doing this to just Justin Fields? And we're not bringing up DOIs from Mac Jones. We're not bringing up character concerns for anyone else. The same thing happened with Zach Wilson months ago, and it got swept under the rug. This stuff is still going with Justin Fields. So it's like, you know, what's the agenda here? What narrative are people trying to push? I just think it's BS. I think Fields is perfectly fine. I think he is committed to the game. He wants to play football, and I think he wants to be great. And I think we've seen that from how he plays and his production and just the way he acts. So, I mean, it's all BS to me.
Exactly. And you're not a number one, or I forget if it was one or two coming out of high school in his class behind Lawrence or ahead of Lawrence. I don't know. And you're also not a number two prospect in the NFL draft on most boards at the beginning of the year if you have a bad work ethic, because you are under – scouts look at you under a microscope when you're in high school and when you're in college. They're going to get to the game early. They're going to watch you come out of the tunnel. They're going to keep their eye on you the entire game. You are under a microscope. They're going to see what you do. If you're just like slacking out there, just throwing sidearm, having fun. They're not going to draft you when you're preparing for a big game against Michigan or something like that. They're going to draft a quarterback who is going to go out there against a D1 AA team, an FCS team, I should say, and goes out there, works his butt off in the beginning of the game, and then when he comes out, he succeeds. That's how they're going to do it. So Justin Fields is definitely under a very thin microscope. Also, high school football, when you're the number two prospect, you are dominating your competition. So there's no way you're the number two prospect if you have a bad work ethic as well, because you got to prepare for that again as well. So it really just goes to show that he definitely does have a good work ethic, I should say. And if he had a bad one, he probably would be maybe not even a top 10 pick. I don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nonsense. It's nonsense. Like, don't believe that stuff. People out there that's trying to push these dumb narratives for some reason. I don't know why. Could it be strategic, trying to get him to fall? I mean, I don't see the point at this point. I mean, the Niners moved up to
three. My theory is that all the Panthers fans are trying to revolt and get him to Carolina.
Like, he's probably not getting past three. Like, whether it be the Jets or the Niners taking him, one of those two are going to take him. He's not getting past three, in my opinion. So, yeah, that's going to do it. We just want to get into the presser and the pro days. We've gotten through that. We've gotten our thoughts out there. Next week, we'll start our draft content. We're starting off, at least I believe. We'll see if things change. Maybe I'll change the way I want to go about this. But as of right now, I'm planning to do, me and Sam are planning to do offensive prospects, first round. Well, not first round, but early round, late round, mid-round guys. Who the Niners might target and who might fit the Niners, the Niners roster. I'm sorry for all this coughing and sniffling, all that stuff. But,
yeah, come on, Kobe.
bad podcasting, I'm sorry. But, yeah, that's the plan. We'll see how it goes from there. The draft is, 29 days away?
We are one month away from the draft on Monday, so we are 28 days away, I believe. Today's the 31st, it begins on the 29th.
So, yeah, it's coming. So, yeah, with that being said, all right, make sure you follow us at BayKobe, at NinerWire Sam, at Talking Niners Pod, all that stuff. Make sure you follow it. Also, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you're listening. If you have the option, I know not all the podcast services have the rate and review option, but if you can, do so. And also subscribe so you get the notification every time an episode drops. So you don't have to wait on us to tell you that it's out. You just know from the ding on your phone when it comes out. That being said, as always, go Niners.
See ya.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah.
WynnBET Sportsbook again?
Yeah, man. Want to get in on these bets with me?
Okay, fine. Just signed up.
Yes. See? WynnBET. Told you.
Sign up at WynnBET.com today using promo code BlueWire to get up to $1,000 toward a risk-free sports bet. That's WynnBET and promo code BlueWire. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.